Welcome to The Elaborators. It's been a little while, but we are back. You know, it's episode 50 this episode. That's exciting. So our guests should be very honoured to be here on episode 50. And speaking of our guests, I've got two returnees today. They are, and for whatever reason, Pastor Deanna,
yep.
Who is a returnee from Thailand, returned from Thailand.
Yes, as the tan show.
As the tan shows. And we have Pastor Charlie over there who did, you know, he did a good enough job to come back.
Oh, good. Well yeah, done, Charlie.
It was only just though, I'm sure. Just made it. Don't blow it.
No,
we had, I'm sure that I haven't checked my inbox, but I'm sure there were rave reviews and comments and likes and everything on Pastor Charlie's contribution.
Yes. He's all right. We'll keep
him
around.
I'm sure.
Oh, you're sure. So, Pastor D, say welcome, guys. Pastor D, how was Thailand?
Oh, it was amazing.
Why were you there?
Well, we went to see Jackie Croxton was the first and foremost. And you might know that a little bit about that, Simon, because I think you were with us.
It's true. I did go. For some of it.
Got some video and stuff like that. But really, I think, you know, Jackie's been in Thailand for 10 years. And of course, Stan was the mobilizer for her to go and stuff like that. So we've journeyed with her in that process on the other side of things with SIM. But there's been a lot of changes since COVID. So this is the first time we've been back to Chiang Mai since COVID. And just to see her and meet the team and the progress that they've made in the last several years since post-COVID and getting into the schools. I was telling somebody, they're able to use the Bible to teach English in a public school in a Buddhist country and sing songs about Jesus. And I'm thinking, man, we don't have that kind of freedom here. So it's pretty cool to see and just to see their passion and commitment to reaching some of the kids would be at-risk kids. Yeah.
So that's your favorite part of the work part of the holiday?
Yeah,
you had a little bit extra on the end. What was the favorite part of the non-work part? Oh,
well, we had great weather. It was really beautiful weather. It was a nice setting on the beach and stuff like that. Stan sprung for a little upgrade in the room so we could see the beach. So
yeah, cool.
It was
cool.
Nice. It was really nice. So we had some relaxing time to rest and read. It was good.
Speaking of weather, Charlie, last week we were talking about your introduction to Melbourne.
Yes.
Today it's pretty ridiculous still. How are you going?
Yeah. Well, actually, the wind's not as bad as I have experienced. So I'm just like, oh, yeah, it's windy. It's pretty strong, but not as bad as I've seen. So
it's true. Charlie's a Queenslander, so he's used to the cyclones.
I was going to say, is that because you've been through a few cyclones? Is that
We
like hurricanes in Florida. Uh-huh. I love them. They're amazing.
Yep.
Until they hurt somebody. But
yeah.
Right.
I don't like people hurt.
But we, and here in Melbourne, we just do all of them a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't really have any extremes of anything. It's just all at once.
Yeah, but true.
By what I've been told, yes, that's it. It's all at once. You can have it all in one day.
Yeah. Just a little hint of everything. Just for you, just keep us on our toes. Well, welcome to episode 50. I think it's exciting that we made it to episode 50 here.
Yeah.
And we are going to today's episode, we are going to kind of summarize our last series that we're doing here at Werribee Baptist Church called Breakthroughs, focusing on body, what was the order? Body, mind, and spirit. Yep. Body, mind,
physical,
spirit, faith.
Yep. Physical, mental, and spiritual.
Spiritual. Yeah. So I thought we'd just dive into kind of all three.
Cool.
Only one of you spoke in those three, but that's okay.
I took notes.
I'm sure you know what you're talking about still. So to dive straight in then is we did start off with physical, with Pastor Inoke. Okay. And he spoke about, honouring God with our bodies, that kind of topic. So I thought we'd start right there. What does it even mean to honour God with our bodies? And how do we do it? Pastor D.
It's quite a wide question, really. And it's interesting, this breakthrough thing really ties into all of my studies in the area of member care. Because you look at those are core areas of wellness, and then that affect everything else, like relationships and stuff like that. But with physical wellness, one of the first things we would do when working with ministry workers that are in a high stress capacity is have them go get a checkup at the doctor when they're having issues so that make sure there's no underlying things that are wrong. But then making sure that they're doing positive stress management and not poor coping stress management. I know this is going to sound boring. but that getting that physical exercise does more than just, honor God with their – it's not about appearance. It's more about wellness. And so with wellness, if you don't move your body, your muscles deteriorate. If you don't eat the right things or don't fuel your body properly – That has a negative impact that can be long lasting, and it affects every other area of your life. So if you want to serve God or live for God and stuff like that, you need to take care of the body that he's given you, is kind of the thinking, that we're to honor God with our bodies, not in a legalistic sense, but in a wellness sense, so that we are able to serve him and contribute to the body of Christ, which is another kind of body, but yeah.
So is that, Charlie, is that a daily thing, when you need it thing? I don't know if you're a fitness person, like if you've got your own hobbies or whatever in the fitness world.
Isn't it blatantly obvious?
Well, it could be weights, it could be swimming, it could be like Pastor Inike loves to swim.
Yeah. I think for me, I'd love it to be much more regular than what it currently is. But I think I echo what Pastor Deanna has said about. I think it's really important for each of us at the very least to have 12 monthly medical checkups, full checkups. Mm-hmm. I think that's just general care of your body and making sure if there's anything that needs to be addressed, it is actually addressed. Mm-hmm. And for some people, that actually alleviates a lot of anxiety and things like that as well, knowing that they are in good health. But yeah, I think the physical aspect, for some people, you know, how do they recharge their batteries? They need to take that step back. And just if it's nature, if it's water, whatever it is, you know, they find themselves in the presence of that. And they also thank God because it's his creation. Mm. So I think, and unfortunately I've crossed over a few lines there too, because that also becomes part of mind and part of spirit.
Sure.
It's the physical act of actually getting out there and looking after yourself. Yeah.
So is it important, like does God care?
Does God care
about it?
Of course he cares. Yeah. It wouldn't be in scripture if he didn't.
Sure.
But no, apart from that, I'm going to quote a little Tim Keller here because I loved, he did a sermon before he passed, but a lot of years ago, several years ago. He talked about sometimes we approach the humanity in a reductionist way. So like the doctor looks at the physical stuff, just the physical stuff. The theologian or the pastor looks at just the spiritual stuff. And then the psychologist looks at just the mental stuff. But we're whole people. Yeah. So does God care that we're well and happy and healthy and stuff like that? I think that he does. Mm. Yeah, yeah. Jesus walked a lot, you know. Of course, he rode a donkey once, I think. But
I was going to say, he couldn't call the Uber and get him from one to the other.
There's a few, hey, can you take me on the boat? But yeah, so that would be up your alley, Charlie. Take me on the boat. But yeah, no, sure. But there was a physical activity does well for our spirit and our mental health as well, because we are this whole person and not just compartmentalized people. But our,
No, that's good. And on the mental side of things, diving into which was what was that week two of our series was on that.
Yeah,
and we had a guest speaker, Chad Loftus, come in.
Good old Chad.
Yeah, he did really good. He's a counselor and spoke to everybody about, in particular, anxiety. The focus on that.
He was we go back, you started with Thailand. Chad worked in Thailand and he worked with some really at-risk people in Thailand at a counseling center there that's still, that Jackie happens to be on the board of. So it's like this really cool thing that he was here while we were there and talking about mental health because he really knows this stuff.
Yeah. And so he, I've got my question here is like, how can anxiety be viewed through the lens of faith, which is what he talked about so often. The world is just like, you've got anxiety, this, you know, take this medicine here. But it's how can it be viewed through the lens of faith and the practical steps to manage it while drawing closer to God? What did you get out of his sermon in particular around that side of it?
I loved the illustration that he used, the visual that he used of anxiety breeding anxiety in others. Because I've seen that. I'm sure you've seen it too, Charlie. Just the reality that when we are anxious or when somebody around us is anxious, it rubs off on us. I remember a time when we were when our kids were younger and we had just one mishap after another while we were on a road trip doing ministry work. And Jill, our youngest, split her face open. She had to be rushed to the hospital while I'm breaking down camp with the other kids. And then we get in the car and the engine overheats and stuff like that. So then we had that issue. So we were babying it along. We had a meeting we had to get to. And then would you believe that the camper that we were pulling blew a tire and we had no spare? So it was like this comedy of errors.
Sounds like a National Lampoon's movie or something.
It was like spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
But the kids were fine. They were so fine until I called my mom, as you do in these crisis moments, and I lost it on the phone. And then the kids all melted down. And I thought, when I was listening to Chad's sermon, he talks about how that anxiety affects others around us. That's what came to mind because, you know, you live it, you see it. But from a biblical perspective, I loved how he handled the fact that we we're told to be, don't be anxious or be anxious for nothing in scripture, but that, you know, we see this, the reality that as humans, the reason we're instructed that way is not that it's a sin to be anxious, but that we're to turn to God during those times. Amen. And stuff like that. I think he brought that out quite well. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's so. Very much. Charlie, yeah. Is there, it's not necessarily for yourself directly, but what are some of those signs that you can get the sense of the anxiety building and then try, as Dee was talking, is like that redirect?
Yeah. Yeah, well, actually, it's funny you should mention that, because one of the things I really loved that Chad had was that sheet of paper. And, you know, I feel I need.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you can go straight to that. So, you know,
I might anger, put that in the episode notes.
Yeah, so anger, snappiness, you know, just overreacting to situations and things like that, all of those are signs of anxiety, not thinking rationally. You know, there's a whole range of things that can indicate that you're feeling anxious, simply not being yourself. So,
yep, I would say, just at least for me, I would probably get quite abrupt and short. Yeah. Everyone says I'm normally a very calm and measured person.
Yep.
And sometimes it can stress. That's probably a bit of a stress trigger as much as an anxiety trigger, but they're not too far apart sometimes.
That's right.
I didn't hear Chad expound it a lot, but one of the things that we do tend to look for when we're doing people care is poor coping mechanisms. So like when somebody's feeling anxiety, often it, you know, or loneliness or any of those negative emotions will often resort to poor coping mechanism, but that would be any addictive behavior or even like the binging or binge eating or binge watching or binge, you know, all of that stuff that is indicators that we're not doing well. We're trying to deaden the pain is kind of what it is, or that anxiety that we feel. So it's interesting, like in children on the autism spectrum, they will, the more they anxious they feel, depending on, you know, their level, but they'll stim more, which is that self-stimulating behavior, because it brings their anxiety down. But we do the same thing. It just looks a bit different. So you got to kind of take that into consideration. What am I doing that might be an indicator that I'm not coping with my anxiety that I'm feeling?
Are there any reassurances that you tell yourselves or that you know other people can use, either to get closer to God or just physically helping you?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I was feeling quite anxious over some issues that I'm dealing with, and I thought, man, I just got to go for a run, and I can't always do that, but the physical and the emotional are very tied together. So when I run, I'm getting slower and older, and I pay for it after. But it gives me a chance to work on all three of those areas, because it burns off the cortisol or that stress hormone. And it gets my body, my cardiovascular system working better and stuff like that, which makes me feel better. And also it gives me a chance to pray those anxieties over to God as I exercise and stuff like that. So for those of you out there that might have just that activity that you do, that sometimes it's playing the piano for me as well. So, you know, I'll play the piano. I play some old hymns and stuff.
Yeah, Pastor Dee's quite good on the piano. You wouldn't say you are, but the bits that I've heard you play. At least,
you've heard me play. Oh, yeah, my goodness. I've heard you play. but I mean, it disengages the mind from whatever it's being anxious over and stuff like that. So that physical, when it all ties together, so like I said, I play hymns, old hymns on the piano, and that's because then my mind is saturated with the words and my body's doing its muscle memory. I can't even say it, muscle memory.
Yep.
And it's feeding my spirit at the same time. So if you can do an activity that ties those things together, it's very, very helpful.
I think I've realized that I can stress clean.
Oh, that's a good
which
one.
Which is never a bad thing, really.
Cleanliness is next to godliness.
It's better than stress mess.
Good.
And I'm not sure what that is, other than potentially I am pretty obsessed with making sure I'm achieving.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, you know, cleaning the bench. I did a thing.
You did a thing.
Completing something.
Yeah. So it's either that or I'm out in the garden, which is still doing something. I'm cleaning it or whatever. So I reckon I've identified those two things for myself.
That's good. Yeah. Those are really great options.
Mm. Yeah. I think the takeaway from Chad too was that catchy little phrase he had, you know, don't let anxiety, don't see anxiety as something wrong with you, but see it as an opportunity to draw closer to God. Mm. And of course, we all like to say, I'm feeling anxious, oh dear Lord, and that's not the way it is. But I think in keeping a phrase like that in mind, when you are anxious and you struggle with it for a while, it's like, hey, wait a minute, what's going on here? And take that step back. Mm. It's like, okay, God, how can I deal with this in future? How can I deal with this better? And, yeah, that's when that actually comes into play.
That's good.
Yep. I had a situation, I'm sure she won't mind, with my eldest daughter who was at a sports event and was very nervous about the event she had to go into. Mm. But then once she actually did start it, which is A, great, you started, she felt really good during it and everything, and I was trying to encourage her afterwards, you have to remember that, like the next time. That, oh, remember that time I felt like this, but I did it and it was okay.
Yeah.
You try and take that into the next one.
Yeah, that's good. That's well done, Simon.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. A parenting tick for me.
Teaching moment.
Woo. I get my applause.
Yeah.
There it is. That's enough. And then, okay, so let's dive in. So these things are all circling around as a triad there into the spiritual, which was done by yourself, Pastor Charlie.
Yep.
Do you want to tell us about what you, you know, your point of your sermon was on Sunday?
Oh, gee, I don't know what it was.
Oh, yes, you do. you're so modest.
I think the thing with covering a subject like that, it's such a broad subject, we've got to pull it down to such limited information. And I think that's where doing things like this and having people dig into the word more during life groups and stuff like that really helps them, because the subject's much broader than where we went. So it made it very, very difficult. But I suppose I spoke primarily about committing to God, you know, depending upon Him, humbling yourself before Him and trusting Him for everything that we have, and then having that reflected in our personal quiet times. You know, are we spending time in the word, or are we learning His voice? Are we learning to hear from Him? And then when He does speak to us, we can acknowledge, yes, that's the Lord. I need to act on this. Because when He speaks, we have to act. And I think that's important. When it came to dependence, you know, do we depend on what I can do, like my physical abilities or my education, my work situation, or and my finances? Or do I say, hey, all I am, all I have is God's. Whatever He wants to do with it, it's up to Him. I still depend on Him. And so that overflowed into prayer life too. When I pray, is it God first in each and every situation? You know, when we're having a great time, praise God for that. You know, when things are really bad, straight to God as well. That's the way we should be. Yeah.
Sometimes it can be easy to forget the praise part too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
When things are going good.
Yeah.
It's all me. Everything's going great. Yeah. One thing you did mention in, and I touched on it briefly there, like the personal relationship. You talked about snacks and meals of your personal time with God. Can you explain that slightly, and then potentially how you get from a snack to a meal?
Yeah, I think this is one area of our Christian walk where people really beat themselves up about, because, I mean, Pastor Deanna possibly does 3 or 4 hour personal quiet time every day. Being serious though, Pastor Deanna's quiet time.
Do you see my halo?
Yeah, mine slipped around my ankles right now. But I think we look to other Christians and we say, well, wow, they spend so much time with God. I will never achieve that. And that's not what this is about. It's about, okay, I need to spend more time with God. How do I go about doing that? And I always challenge people to spend 7 minutes a day with God. When they're first starting out, 7 minutes a day, and just make sure it's consistent. And I want them to do that for at least 1 month. Mm. And the crazy thing is, if they decide to spend that 7 minutes for that 1 month, usually by the end of the month, they're spending more than 7 minutes. And I think for me too, one of the big things in doing a quiet time, reading God's word, what did God say to you and what do you say to God? And I think just keeping it very simple for people who are just starting out, and then develop it from there.
Yeah. And that is, we'll probably come back to it a little bit here on the little steps to big steps part, but the same applies in the physical side of it, where you always hear if you do a push-up that day, the next day do 2, the next day do 3. You know.
Yeah, it's kind of like that couch to 5K kind of thing.
Yeah.
Do it in small increments. Back where the quiet time tool that we use originated was with an organization called Word of Life. I presume it started with them, but they might have pinched it from somebody. But the format that we use in our tool. But I remember them stressing no Bible, no breakfast. That was one of the mottos that that our regional leader said, no Bible, no breakfast. And that stuck with me because, you know, that ties it to the physical. But, you know, the whole idea of a meal and stuff like that, not snacking. But I'm not a breakfast eater, so it doesn't work for me. If it said no Bible, no coffee, I might have a problem. I have to have that coffee in the morning. But,
Well, every time you have a coffee.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of Bible.
There you go. But you know, just even the YouVersion and stuff like that can pop up with Bible verses and reminders. And sometimes even just that could be the snack throughout the day, is when those reminders of a scripture pop up that's apart from your normal quiet time study in the Word, that just reminds you of a truth. Maybe at just a moment you need it, and we do the Instagram things too that are maybe would be more snacky, if you will, because it's 60 We try for less than
60. You'll do very well, less than 60. Yep.
My goal is 30, and yep. I end up with 59. But anyways, but just to encourage people, just to be thinking about God through the day.
So what are some of the barriers then that can stop us from experiencing that spiritual breakthrough of any sort? Not just meals to snacks, but just, you know, growing in our faith can sometimes feel like you're just hitting a ceiling, or, you know, what are some of those barriers and how do we push through them?
I think for our generation coming through, especially our younger people, there is so many distractions, and we wouldn't see it as that, but they wake up and the first thing they pick up is their
telephone.
How do you know that? It's because everyone does that. Mm-hmm. And I think we've got to try and put those distractions aside. And sure, I will never say a phone's evil. By necessity, they're neutral. They can be used for good and those types of things as well. So, yes, we have all our phone app, all our Bible apps and things like that on there which we can use. But sometimes you just got to put that aside and say, hey, I'm just going to spend time with God in the Word. And I think what's key in spending time with God too is to find a space that works for you. Mm-hmm. And that's different for heaps of people. I remember hearing about a guy that I knew, and he had difficulties spending quiet time with God his entire life. And his wife just said, you need to find a space. And he bought a rocking chair of all things and put it on the front veranda. And he just powered on for God after that. He just got so close to God in his personal quiet time because that was the thing he did. Made his coffee, sat there, and did his quiet time. Yeah.
I find that my life is more streamlined if I can couple things together. So I, through the winter, especially when I can't get outside and run or walk or anything, I did the read through the Bible using my phone.
Yep.
I was just thinking, side note, I touched my phone first time because it's my alarm, but anyways. but I would be able to set my phone in the cup holder on the treadmill and follow along while my headphones, I'm listening to God's word being read and I can read it and I can listen to it and I'm getting exercise at the same time. It works really well for me. But there's a lot of approaches. You've got to find what works for you. I think that's the key. You've got to find what works for you because you are you and somebody else does it their way. You need to find what works for you and have goals. I think it's really important to have some goals because if we have, you know, when you ask the question, Simon, the first answer that came to mind was, it's a sin problem. But by that, I mean, seriously, sin, if we're tolerating a lot of sin in our life, it's going to make us not want or not desire that time with God because we're going to be wanting to run the other way. Mm-hmm. So we need to evaluate, is there anything that I might need to get rid of in my life that's causing me to stumble or not desire God? Mm-hmm. So I think that's where we have to start. But then you have to set some goals. That helps me. The reason that we developed a quiet time tool was sometimes people just go to the Bible and like, I don't know what to read.
Yeah.
And so that can become a barrier.
You just open it up and it says something terrible in your context right then.
Yeah. So we're trying to be systematic about going through and taking, right now we're in the Song of Solomon in the quiet time tool and it's like, oh, this is a tough one. But a lot of people would never read that book. Probably won't preach it, but it's a beautiful, but you know, it's good for us to be aware of the whole Bible, you know, and stuff like that. So we try to use systematic stuff. So if you just have a tool or a plan or a goal, I think that's helpful. And if you can maybe double things up, whether you have it coffee and Bible or some exercise and Bible or whatever, or a rocking chair and Bible, I think those are very helpful ways that we can, or find what works for you, like I said.
Charlie, probably one of the last parts of last topics you touched on it as well in your intro just before was the material breakthroughs and generosity, either material or time.
Yeah.
How can we practically live out that material generosity? You challenged the hypothetical question of would we just, you know, if God asked us to give up everything, would we?
Yeah.
Can you speak into that?
I suppose I've experienced that a bit. Where God's asked us to make some pretty big sacrifices sometimes, and it's like, whoa. And then, of course, you always go, is this really God? But I think it's about changing your attitude towards what you have. And I think if we begin to, like King David did, you know, all I have is yours, God. And I think regardless of your gifts, talents, and abilities, not even thinking about material possessions and finances, God's blessed you with that. He's made you the way that you are. And you should use all of those for his glory and purposes, whether that be in a church context or in a work situation. You know, we work for God's glory and purposes. And so if you're a warehouse sweeper, if that's your job, you do it for the Lord. You don't do it for your boss. I mean, and if you're doing it for the Lord, you're going to do it better than the boss expects anyway. So I think it's about changing that attitude. And then when it comes to finances, I really struggle with where we are here in Australia. And I used to love the World Rich List. There used to be this page you used to be able to go, World Rich List. You could punch in what you earned a year. Every person in Australia is in the top 5% wealthiest people in the world. And when you think about that, you go, that's not true. But if a total stranger was to drop on the ground in front of us in Australia, they'd have the best medical care they could possibly get, and they'd get that for free. And that's a privilege. And so we need to think about, well, in this privileged situation that I am in, how can I honour God with what I have? And so it's just changing that attitude towards our possessions and saying, yes, Lord, this is yours. And I think if you've never thought that way, maybe your prayer is a little bit different. Like, Lord, I don't get that. I want to get it. Will you just reveal that to me?
It's interesting with it almost comes back to purpose a little bit. I think there's what came to mind just then was you may have heard a famous NASA story of the janitor in the hallways that was, I can't remember the full story, but essentially he wasn't sweeping the floors and things for his boss. He was sweeping the floors to put people on the moon.
Yeah.
Oh. And that was the NASA culture, right? Like within there that everybody had that bigger purpose.
Yeah.
And I suppose what came to mind was just if we can reframe our own purposes to be for God, then it does start to change all the little things we might be doing.
That's right.
And our intent behind the model.
There's actually a Bible verse that talks about that. Whatsoever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord.
That's right.
So there you go.
So where does community play in a part of all of this? Everything we talked about is very much like how the individual gets stuff done. How does our community or our networks or how important are they to us? What if we don't have some?
I would say that, I mean, it starts by talking about it. So we're doing that. Yay, we're doing it. We're doing it together. And you're listening. So therefore, you are doing it with us. But this preaching series and stuff like that, or even things that we can put out there for people to glean as part of a community, but also holding each other accountable. Amen. And having systems and stuff in process. I mean, that's kind of our foundational ethos as a church here. Is that striving to be a loving community, seeking, sharing, and serving Jesus. So, I mean, that kind of undergirds all we do, so we want to do it together. And I think that's really important because one of the things that has always been a concern to me is when people are in isolation, I likened it to like a fire. If you take a fire log that's on fire and you remove it from the other logs, it will smolder and go out when it doesn't have that commonality with the other logs that are on fire. So it's so important to gather in Christian community at some level. We still have our daily life to do and work and things like that, but you really, it's such an important thing to not forsake the assembling of yourself together. Amen. As the manner of some is, you know, but to even when you don't feel like it, even when you're at the worst place in your life, that you can know that you can come to the church and the church will receive you and come around you, and you don't have to hide from that, and you can be honest. That's what we want, an authentic community so that people can get the help and support they need for these things.
Yeah. And I think that's key, isn't it? And as we gather on a Sunday, I mean, we want it to be a celebration for sure, but there's people who are gathered who don't feel like celebrating, and that's when we can encourage them. That's when we can come alongside them. That's when we can just love them and pray for them and build them up in the faith, which is what we're called to do. So,
I just read some, we probably don't have time for it, and I'll try and get it done in other ways on our socials and things, but I just got some stories through today from Karen, who runs the Bridge outreach thing. Some great mentorship stories. And many of those are at their lowest or their loneliest. There's that reach for someone or something, and then the community comes around. The mentor comes aboard. The other person appears, and then it's just like improvements.
It's good
straight from there. So I'll try and get some of those captured and shared out on the online world.
Sounds good.
Yeah, nice. So, okay, just to finish off here then, we like to kind of have some form of application of all of this banter. And so I thought with the physical, mental, spiritual health, we talked about just like the little things. So I thought, well, if we can all think of the little thing, it doesn't even have to be one little thing from each of the three, mental, physical, spiritual, though that would be handy. It would be, challenging everybody to think through what that one thing might be. And you just got to start, right? Like you just got to actually get the guts to do it. Find a space, whether if it's a quiet moment or put some shoes on, go for a walk. It doesn't have to be a run.
Oh, yep. No. I run pretty slow.
So. Right. A canter or a jog.
But you know what? Anyways, I was just thinking, that small step, that first step. Wasn't that the first thing that you started your sermon with? Because Pastor Inoke had said it in his sermon.
That's right.
Yeah. What did he say?
What was that? That was like, because it was quite a chunk of, wasn't it? It was about taking small steps though.
Yeah. I love that. I mean, it can be.
Bit of compound interest in there. One thing becomes another.
Yeah. Stan always asks me, how was your run today? Well, like when I do run and I say any run is a good run because it meant that I put my shoes on and I got out the door. And sometimes it's good, like we talk about community and stuff, is to, if you struggle to do that alone, whether it be a physical thing or a spiritual thing, find somebody to do it with you. Just say, hey, will you keep me accountable with my quiet time? Or, hey, can we go for a walk together? I want to talk about spiritual things. Or, you know, it can be that simple. It doesn't have to be anything stellar.
Yeah, great.
Because it's all stellar.
Well, let's finish up there. We've got through all 3 weeks of that series. Hmm. If anyone wants to catch up on these sermons from that series, they can go to our website, worriebebaptist.org.au, look at the watch button on the menu up the top, and then you'll find all our messages. And then there's some find us on our socials where we will do all of the quiet time stories.
Yep.
And they can be the little snacks we have. I think that's probably a good description. Our socials are full of snacks. Hopefully this is a little bit more of a meal sometimes.
We do tapas.
Yep. We can go with that. That can be the subtext of our podcast.
The tapas.
Faith tapas.
I love it.
Well, thank you for watching, listening. Thank you guys for being a part of this episode, number 50.
Thank you.
It was a good one.
It was special. We should have had a party, some party poppers.
I know. Well, I can do our applause. There's our 50th applause. And then we're about to start a big series on change with Pastor Stan. So we'll have lots to talk about in the next few weeks with that. See everyone.
No worries. See ya. Thank you. See you later.